I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So today we're going to talk about indulging in confusion, because this is something that can really get our brains hung up on in all different kinds of areas, right? Like our brains really, it likes confusion, even though it feels really uncomfortable and it's really hard at times, most of the time, it's something that our brain likes. Because when we are in confusion, what are you not doing? You are not typically taking action, right? You're thinking, you're stewing, you're swirling. Like, these are some of the ways that I describe it, but you're not taking action. And the other thing is that when you are indulging in confusion, you don't have to feel certain emotions. This is one of the biggest things, is to notice when we are buffering with confusion. We are avoiding certain emotions, typically negative ones, because we want to be confused. I want you to think about a time recently that you felt a positive emotion. Happiness, joy, love, excitement, adventure. You didn't feel confused. There was no desire to feel confused. No, this was a great emotion. You wanted to feel it. We were all like, but you dove all in. When it's a negative emotion, when it's something negative, that's when we like to indulge in confusion. I don't know why. I just don't understand it. And we want to make sense of it, because our brain likes to close the loop. It likes to have the information. But we also know, like, the confusion is allowing us to avoid emotions. It's allowing us to avoid taking action. So I'm going to give you a couple examples, because this happens in weight loss. People will come to me and they'll say things like, I don't know why I'm not losing weight. I'm so confused. I'm eating healthy. I'm avoiding processed foods. I'm eating pretty clean. And I'm exercising 4 days a week, maybe 5 days sometimes. I just don't get why I'm not losing weight. And they want to be confused. And so it's like, on the surface, my thought is, huh, that's interesting. Why are they not losing weight? In order to get out of the confusion, we want to tune into curiosity. And we have to start asking more and better, deeper questions. So we have to start looking at, okay, what are the actual facts? Because I could tell myself, and this is something that I did for a long time too, I was very confused about not losing weight. I'm eating low carb, but I'm not losing weight. I'm exercising, I'm running every single day, but I'm not losing weight. And I had to get really clear on what was actually happening. I had to stop lying to myself. And I want to challenge and maybe have you think about it as, if you are feeling confused, where are you lying to yourself? That is one of the biggest ways we do ourselves harm. So back then, I was telling myself I was doing all the right things. I was eating low carb, but I wasn't losing the weight. Or I was intermittent fasting, but I wasn't losing weight. So we just want to look at, okay, what else is true? What are some of the other facts? What else is going on? And this is what I do with people during a consultation. We'll do this on coaching calls, but especially in the consultation. That is where we really want to get clear and remove the confusion. We want to take away any confusion there is, so that you walk away knowing exactly why you're not losing weight and what the next steps are. Regardless of whether you want to work with me or someone else or do it on your own, it's all about knowing how to solve the problem. So the way that we get there is now starting to do more of a breakdown of, okay, tell me what's really happening. Tell me what you're really eating. Tell me what's happening on a normal basis, not on a best case scenario, not on your best days, but on the average days, the hard days, the rough days. What does that look like? What does it look like on a month or a 3 month scale of what are we typically doing? What's happening? What are the patterns? And so for me, what was happening was I would try to eat low carb throughout the day, but I would end up binging and emotionally eating throughout the afternoon and into the night, almost every day. So I could, quote, eat low carb, but I was eating 3 or 4 protein bars a night. I was eating low carb ice cream. I was eating popcorn. I was eating beef jerky and other low carb food, but I was still overeating. I was still over consuming. And sometimes it was just an overeat. Sometimes it was a binge. A lot of times there was emotional eating happening. There was other things. And I wasn't solving for the right thing. And a lot of times too, it was, I would exercise. I would run in the mornings, usually 5 or 6 miles. Then I would sometimes do lift weights and do like a body pump class. And then I would try to eat low calorie, low carb. And basically, I'm trying to starve myself. Like, I'm not intentionally trying to starve myself, but just from the philosophy of eat less, exercise more, and quote, do the right thing. And then I wasn't losing weight. And so there were a lot of habits and thoughts and beliefs and patterns that I had to break. But I had to get really honest and clear with myself. I had to stop lying about the binging. I had to stop lying about the overeating and emotional eating. And I had to recognize that this was a problem, and this was a problem I wanted to solve. And then there came a point where I had to recognize this wasn't a problem that I could solve by just changing my circumstances. It didn't change just because my then husband came back from deployment. It didn't change because I changed jobs. It didn't change because I moved states. It didn't change because of all of the, like, I had to do the internal work and the internal changes in order to create the healthy relationship with food and exercise. Same thing with this client that I was talking to, and that initial call was really helping her to get clear on why she wasn't losing weight. And it was because even though she was trying to follow a certain diet plan, number one, she couldn't stick to it. It was not a plan that she could stick with. Therefore, it was not a plan that worked. It was not a plan that could work because it required too much willpower and she didn't have it. She was also emotionally eating and binge eating several times a week. So we can't tell ourselves, I'm mostly eating healthy. I mean, you can, but again, you're just lying to yourself. So you could say things like, I'm eating healthy. I am exercising. And that's great, but we have to be willing to face the truth. We have to be willing to face the frustration, the shame, the anger, the resentment, all of the emotions that come up, because sitting in confusion is just avoiding you hitting your goals. It's avoiding you taking the more aligned and strategic action. And the confusion is really there to cover up those deeper emotions that you don't want to feel, because you feel like a failure, because you feel out of control around food, because you feel like you are powerless. So we have to stop indulging in the confusion. And I say this wanting to also slap myself, because this comes up in all areas. It comes up in relationships a lot. I spent many days, weeks, months of my marriage feeling confused. I felt like I was in a very confusing marriage. It was very hard to figure out. And it was hard to explain, and explain in a way where I could then get the help and support that I wanted. And I'd seen pastors like all over the country, and just depending on where we were living, I talked to a variety of different people and pastors' wives and counselors, and they could all, many of them, like I remember one in particular, he was like, this issue that you're coming here with, this is just a superficial issue. Whatever is going on underneath is the deeper issue. That's what you need to solve. And then I was like, okay, what is it? Like, can you tell me what it is? Because I haven't a freaking clue. That'd be really nice. So years later, I did figure out what it was. But I noticed that I spent a lot of time being confused. And so that to me now in any type of relationship is a red flag. And yet I got into a relationship this year that was very confusing in the beginning. There was a lot of confusion, and I knew it was a red flag, and I didn't want to walk away. I just wanted to keep going. And again, it's okay, what would I have to be willing to feel if I wasn't going to feel confused? What do I have to accept? What do I have to acknowledge? And recognize the potential pain that might come with it. And this is not something that our habit brains want to recognize, just like with weight loss, because our brain wants to go towards what is pleasurable, what feels good, what avoids pain, and what is the easy, like easy access. So it seeks pleasure, avoids pain via the path of least resistance. That's our habit brain. That's what it wants. So it's normal that it wants to spin in confusion, because then I also don't have to make decisions. I don't have to feel bad. I don't have to stop seeing this person that's meeting certain needs that I'm either not meeting for myself, or just feel so good for somebody else to be meeting, or some combination thereof. And now experiencing the loss and grief over him and his life, because we didn't just break up, we broke up and there was grief. And a lot of sadness and heartache, because we both loved each other dearly. and also knowing the timing just wasn't there. He had things that he had, like there were things in his life that were going on that he needed to work on and address and figure out. But then I got a call last week saying that he was killed. And it feels very confusing. I don't have a lot of details. I don't have a lot of information. And my brain wants to indulge in the confusion. And with this confusion, it's covering up the sadness, the sorrow, the heartbreak, the frustration, the anger. It's confusion is covering up all of these other emotions and ultimately the grief and being able to move forward and move through it. My brain wants answers and it's not going to get them. And so there has to be a place that I am willing to get to. And I've gotten there where I've accepted that I am not going to have a lot of answers. There are going to be things left unsaid, left undone, left unknown, and it feels really uncomfortable, right? If you ever think about like TV series or movies, especially like soap operas, right? It's like they leave you on cliffhangers. They leave you wanting more. They leave you like, oh my gosh, I have to tune in to figure out what happens next. They don't close the loop, and so it gets you to come back because you're always trying to close that loop. And it's really hard now when you have to intentionally walk away from trying to close the loop and trying to make sense of it. Because I could spend the rest of the year, I could probably spend the next year and a half trying to make sense of it, and it's just going to eat away at me. And so I'll be doing some episodes here in the next couple of weeks around grief and just some of my thoughts and my take on it. I think there's a lot to be said about the stages of grief, but it's not linear. It comes in cycles. It comes in waves. It's much deeper. It's so much more complex. And we can get caught in the pain of grief and holding on to people. And I don't want that. I don't want that for myself. And I have to be able to move forward in a healthy way. And so this feels so deeply uncomfortable to feel and to notice the confusion and to make peace with not having answers and to be willing to process the negative emotions that come with it. And by negative, I just mean the hard ones that we typically don't want to feel, the grief, the sorrow, the heartbreak, the disappointment, the fear that maybe I would never find love again, that I would never find someone to love me as much as he did. There's so many layers to this. But when I allow myself to not spin in confusion, then I can also stop. It's like I stop lying to myself and I start telling myself the truth and taking that honest look at what's really happening, what's really going on. And there's a lot that I still have to unpack. There's a lot that I'll probably be doing with a coach or a therapist over the next year or two. I don't know how long. But I'm grateful for this experience. I'm grateful that I got to know him. I'm grateful for what he did for me in my life. I'm grateful that I could hopefully be something and someone positive in his life. So my question now to you is there a place in your life where you feel confused? What feels confusing to you? Is it a relationship? Is it weight loss? Is it something within parenting? Is it something to do with your career or your business? Like, where do you feel confused? And now we want to take an honest look at where or how am I potentially lying to myself? What's the truth or what's the reality that I don't want to acknowledge? I don't want to see. I don't want to let myself go there. And know that this is going to feel uncomfortable. And if you would like some help with it, if you want some help in figuring out and understanding why you feel confused in this area and starting to look at what the real honest truth is, then let's chat. Doesn't matter what part of life it is, I can help you with that. And it's always helpful to have somebody on the outside who can look in and see things that you can't. Because for me, I'm not all up in your business. Like, I can't, I'm not in the emotions. I'm not in, I don't have that same connection that you have to what you're going through. But I can help you to see the reality of your situation and what's really blocking you, what's really stopping you. That in and of itself is power. And that is my gift to you. If you would like some help with this, you can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. And we'll really look at what it is, like what the area is, why you feel confused, what's really going on, what's currently happening. And I'll help you to really see and shed some light on the reality of what's going on and what you can do to create the life and the body you crave. Because there's going to be where you are now and where you want to be 6 to 12 months down the road. And we're always trying to bridge that gap. And I will help you to see what those steps look like. And if I can't help you in particular with that issue, I'm happy to refer you to somebody that might be a better fit, or at least give you a starting point of here's who you're going to want to go try and find. All right, I'm going to keep this one short, and I hope y'all have a fabulous day. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.